So it's just going to be a conversation, but okay. To start, if you wouldn't mind just saying your full name.
Okay.
Date
Ana,
of,
Ana Maria Aguilar. And my date of birth is November 26, 1953.
And place of birth?
El Salvador. San Salvador, El Salvador.
San Salvador. Right. What year did you arrive in Washington, D.C.?
In 1971.
So you were about 16 years. So you spent basically all your childhood in El Salvador.
Pretty much, yes. I was 16 when I came, so, you know, that was it. Those were the first 16 years of my life,
yeah.
And that was it. So now I feel like I have spent, you know, more time here than there. Yeah.
What's the story of your coming to Washington, D.C.? You know, what was the decision that was made, either your parents or the family that you might have come with?
So my mother made the decision to come. She had a friend in El Salvador that came before her, and that made her, you know, interested. And because she came back, that friend came back and said, yeah, you know, it's, you know how they tell stories.
Yeah.
And they, my mother, I guess, got excited because you know, there were six of us in El Salvador, and my dad, my mother didn't work, and my dad, of course, you know, was the supplier. He was the provider for the eight of us. So it was kind of tight. So then my mother got interested and said, well, you know, and at first dad didn't want her to come because he did not want her to leave the six kids over there with him, right? But there was a, there was grandma, my mother's, my father's mother. So after, you know, they talked it over, and then her friend said, yeah, if you decide to come, you know, and here's my address, my phone number, and you can come, and I can help you, and da-da-da-da-da. So then my mother made the decision, and she came, and that was in
68.
It was November of 68 that she came. So after a year, and back then it was pretty easy to, you know, she got in a job in a house as a maid, and the people were very nice, so they were able to fix papers for her. So after a year, she came back and brought my dad. So once they were here, both of them, then they were started working very hard. And a year later, they sent for the six of us.
Oh, wow.
So we came here, and, you know, it was tough at the beginning because, you know, being 16, you're a teenager, you leave all your friends behind, you leave, you know, everything that you have at that age, you know, back home. So it was very hard. I remember I said to my mama, I don't like it here. I want to go back, you know. But she was very wise, and she said, well, just give it time. You know, you're going to be fine, and, you know, you have our support, and you're going to start going to school. And I said, well, how am I going to go to school? I don't know any English. You know, it was hard, and we didn't have any friends, and it was tough.
Do you remember what month?
We came in the 31st of May. I remember it was Memorial Day weekend. And I did not know that until we came, you know, because they were off work. It was a Monday. And they were off. And they said, you know, they explained it to us that it was Memorial Day weekend. My mother was she had a friend. She became very good friends with this woman. She was a nun at the Sacred Heart in, you know, Washington, D.C. So in the convent, they had like a little reception for us because everyone knew Rosa and Carlos. That was, you know, my parents' name. And their kids were coming, and they were all excited for them. So they picked us up at the airport, and then they brought us to the convent. And they had a little reception for us, and I remember that they had a cake. It was the flag of the United States.
Oh, wow.
And they had cupcakes with little flags, you know, and they had all American food. It was hot dogs and potato chips and, you know, potato salad and pickles. And I remember it was like...
And that was
like
just for your, just for you. I mean, just for your family.
Just for us.
Wow.
You know, it was so special. So after that, you know, we were happy, of course, you know, and looking at everything, and wow, you know, this is the United States. But then the nightmare, I would say, began after, you know, when we found ourselves, you know, that we didn't have any friends. And it was May, so we couldn't go to school right away. But this lady, this woman that helped my mother a lot, she said, well, you know, there's a summer program that I think it will be good for them, and maybe you should enroll them in there so that they can, you know, start socializing with other kids their age. And that did it, you know. That's how I met Sonia and Juan. That's how I met Isabel. That's how I met a lot of, you know, people that are my friends until, you know.
So that same summer that you arrived in 71, 1971 was the same summer that you started at the Latin American Youth Center?
It was not. It was not. It
was. It wasn't called. It didn't have that name yet?
I can't remember if it was already called that. I think it was, actually. I think it was. So.
And sorry, I forgot to ask. Where were you living when you arrived?
We were living on Ontario Road and Columbia Road. It was right in the heart of the Latinos. So we were living there for, I don't know, I would say maybe 3-4 years. Actually, no, we moved there after, but when we came, we were living on 16th Street, 16th and Park Road.
And Park Road,
because
okay.
I remember the Sacred Heart was right there, and we used to walk, you know, to the church and to the convent where the nuns were. So after that, I think we moved to a house, because we came to an apartment, and it was too many of us, so then Mom and Dad decided to rent a house on Ontario Road. So then we lived there for about, I guess, 4 years maybe, and then we moved to Maryland.
And what year?
That was probably 74. And in 74, we probably... So we were probably there about 3 years, maybe. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just, because that same summer you arrived, what was the experience like of joining this group of young people, some from El Salvador, some from Nicaragua, some from all different places in Washington, D.C.? What was that?
It was very interesting. And you know, at first, my sisters and I, we were kind of hesitant, you know, to make friends because they were strangers practically, you know. But after, and that job, that summer job really helped.
Was that courtesy patrol, or what job did you have?
We were not, I was not in the courtesy patrol. Or was it? I can't remember. Let me see. Let me think. Because that was, I guess we were part of courtesy patrol. We were not on the streets. We were at the youth center, I think it used to be called, not the Latin American Youth Center, but it was like a house, and we used to have, you know, different classes and cultural awareness and a lot of, you know, different things. So it was not, I remember Juan, you know, I don't know about Sonia, but I think they were courtesy patrol. But then at the end of the day, everyone would meet at the same place, you know, after the work all day, then everybody would come, and you know, we would all meet. And you know,
where would you meet? Do you remember where you would meet up?
It was on 18th Street. 18th and Columbia. It was a house there that I don't know how they got it, you know, but it was specifically for us to come and, you know, hang out, like they say now. So after that, every summer, you know, we would go to school, but then every summer we would do the same thing. And even after school, I remember it was like a little part-time for us. And we would do different things, you know. And
you would get paid.
And we would get paid.
By the Department of Recreation?
By the Department of Recreation. And I think, what was his name? This mayor. I think he didn't
pass. Was it Mayor Washington? Or no. Marion Barry?
Barry. He was the one that actually, I think he was his idea of, you know, forming
the youth
this
employment.
For the young people.
Did you work at all for Pride Inc.?
No, Pride was I think it was a different. I think it was two different. I don't really remember. I know I used to get a check, and I remember the check was like, you know, the first check that I got. But I can't remember if it was Pride. But I know it was from the D.C. government.
Do you happen to remember what you did with the first check that you got?
Well, you know, it was funny because I'm the oldest, and we were six. And I know my parents, you know, they did the best they could. And you know, my little brothers, I remember they were, you know, always wanting toys or little things. And I remember I went home and I said, well, get ready, we're going to go shopping, you know. And I took them, and there was a store on 18th Street, and it was called 5 and 10? No.
5 and Dime? Or
5 and 10, I think it was called. And they had a lot of, you know, different things in there. So we used to walk because we were on, you know, Ontario Road, so it was not very far. So we used to walk and go to the store, and they would, you know, grab candy, chewing gum or whatever. And, you know, they would be happy with little things. But after that, I think I bought some school bags for each of them, you know, and they were only like $3, $4 each. I can't remember, but, you know, better things. But every paycheck, I used to, you know, plan on what I was going to do with it. And then, of course, buy myself some things. But Mom and Dad never said, you know, you have to help here. They always, but of course they saw that we would not, you know, misspend the money, that we were always, you know, because, you know, we were very good kids, you know. We what we liked to do was dance, and, you know, we used to go parties and dance, and but we were never drinking, we were never doing drugs, we were never, you know, it was all about having fun, but in a good way, you know. So that was, you know, and all of us were like that, you know. Our parents, I guess, trusted everyone that, you know, we were not doing anything bad. And of course we would get in trouble, you know, as kids, but not, you know,
not in a serious way.
Nothing like that.
So did you feel like by the end of that first summer, did you feel comfortable? And I mean, I imagine it was a long process, but the fact that you had this group of other folks who could also speak Spanish, and that you felt like you had a little community of friends. Or did it take longer than that?
Well, actually, I remember that first summer, I was still very, you know, uncomfortable, especially with the English, because most of, some of the kids that I, you know, met that summer, they had been here already, you know, for a couple of years, so they already knew English. So I remember that sometimes they used to show off, you know, like, you know, speaking English in front of us, and we were like, because when you come here, you, at least that's how I used to think of what I was going to say, you know, it wasn't automatic,
right,
you know.
Right, yeah.
okay, I'm going to say this. And I used to think first how I'm going to say it. And some of them were, you know, like already, you know, speaking English very well. So it was kind of hard. But then that summer was finished. And then my sister and I went to Americanization. It was a school in Georgetown that used to teach English as a second language. So that really helped me also. By the end of that, I think I went there for 6 months. And then I enrolled in high school. And I was supposed to go to the 10th grade. But I think I had to start 9th grade. And then I skipped 1 year. I remember, I think it was 11 that I skipped. So then I went from 10th to the 12th. I just had to go one summer to take English and I think it was history, American history. It was 3 classes, math. No, it wasn't. I think it was only 2 actually, American history and English that I had to take that summer, and I graduated, you know, so I didn't lose any of my, you know, years.
So where did you go to high school then?
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson, okay, yeah. So that's... All of you actually went to Wilson. I mean, Sonia
went to Woodrow Wilson.
And Juan went to Wilson.
Juan did too. Isabel. Actually, all of us here went to Woodrow Wilson, yeah. So it was a very good experience. After that, I think I began to, you know, like it, I could say. And I have friends, and then I was already, you know, speaking a little English. And so then I graduated from high school, and then I didn't, you know, want to go to college. I don't know, and now I regret it, but anyway. I guess because I wanted to start working right away. So my mother, she was really a very smart lady. And she said to me once, I don't want to stay, you know, cleaning houses. I'm going to see. And even though she came already as an adult, she made the effort to go to school at night, and she learned English. So she was pretty good, you know, in her English. So she said, I want to, you know, have another type of job. So she got a job at Geico over there on Wisconsin Avenue. I think it is the headquarters. I think it's Chevy Chase there. So she got a job as a clerk there, and she was working. She was happy. She used to do a lot of overtime because she said more money. So when I graduated from high school, she said, you know, they have openings for summer jobs, and, you know, they, you know, as a typist, you might want to. So I got all excited, and I said, oh, yeah, that would be good. So then she, you know, she got me the application, and then I completed it. They called me, so I got a summer job at Geico.
Oh, wow.
And it was only supposed to be for the summer, but I was so excited, and I liked it, and it was, you know, as a typist. Because back then, if you knew how to type and you knew how to file, that was it.
A special skill, yeah.
So I got that job, and then the supervisor said, well, you know, this is a summer job, but if you want to continue here, you know, you can. We have openings. So I said, okay. You know, so I stayed there. So I stayed there for about 5 years, I think. And then I got another job with a company called Mutual of Omaha. Back then it was in claims, health claims. And that... that company was on, I think, Connecticut Avenue. It was, you know, their office is right there on Connecticut Avenue. So I started working there, and I, you know, made another, I think I stayed there for about 8 years or so. But that time I was already married because, you know, time goes fast, right? So I got married and everything. But I think the bottom line is that, you know, my parents made a difference in our lives. You know, if they had not come here, we would probably be still in El Salvador. And who knows, you know, we might be dead, or who knows, because, you know, it went pretty bad right after we came. The war started, and even right now, I think there's a lot of, you know, violence over there. So I don't go as often as I would like to.
Did you keep in close touch with family when you all came here? Were you writing, I don't know, letters or calling?
You know, it's funny. When you first come here, you do that, you know, and you write and write and write. Yeah. And then as you start getting comfortable, and you start forgetting about it, you know. But we had family, and my mother was the one that used to keep in contact. And she had brothers and sisters over there. So when you come here and you know, you come as a family, that's the major, you know, the major, how can I say, concern, you know, your closest, you know, family. After that, you love your cousins and your uncles and aunts and all that, but it's not as your brother and sister. So I didn't have the urge to go back to El Salvador so often like other people do, you know, because they have parents or sisters or... So after a while, you know, I think I went back after 6 or 7 years, I went back. And it was, you know, it was nice to see the family, but I didn't feel like I was home anymore, you know. I felt like this was my home, you know. And it's funny how you come from some place and then you go back and you don't feel at home, you know, because you get used to this here. And after a while, I think I, you know, didn't write, didn't call, didn't... My mother was the one that used to say, well, you know so-and-so, you know, remember so-and-so? And she used to tell us, you know, about everyone else. But I... Only one person that I always kept in contact, and that's because she was very persistent, was a friend that I had in school over there. So she was, you know, and up to now, you know, she came here about 2 years ago to visit me. And it was like if time had not passed, you know, because we always kept in contact through letters and now, you know, email or, you know, text or WhatsApp or whatever. But that's the only person that is really like a sister to me that, you know, we always kept in contact all these years. 45 years, can you imagine?
That's special,
Yeah.
I also wanted to be sure to ask you a couple of questions about the neighborhood and about the places that you enjoyed going to most or spending time at in the neighborhood. You know,
In D.C.?
Yeah, in D.C. Were there, I don't know, places in the neighborhood that...
We used to... Because we used to take the bus to go to school, and after school we will, of course, you know, come to do our part-time job. So I think the places that we used to spend the most time were around Columbia Road and the zoo also. And there was a park on 16th Street. It's a big park on 16th Street that we, you know, we used to go around there too. But I remember from, you know, the recreation department, they used to take us on trips. And we used to go to Marshall Hall. I don't know if you ever heard anything about Marshall Hall.
Yeah.
It was a park that they had, you know, it was like an amusement park. They had rides and that was nice. And they used to take us to Ocean City also for the day, and we would have fun, you know, walking on the boardwalk. We went several places. I think Most of the time, though, we used to, you know, just spend time around Columbia Road.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we used to live around there. Everyone used to live close by, you know, so.
So, like the McDonald's, would you hang out at the McDonald's?
Yes, we used to go to the McDonald's and get lunch and, you know, just get a milkshake or whatever, just sit there for a while and everyone would come in. Yeah, I remember hamburgers were like 20 cents or 22 cents, and then if you wanted cheese, it was 3 cents more. So that was it. That was, yeah.
Any other places on Columbia Road or in that area that, were there any restaurants or stores or that were important in terms of just doing groceries or, you know, going to have dinner or hanging out with friends? I'm just wondering what places in the neighborhood were important for everyday life.
Well, you know, there was this park, and it's between 16th Street and Columbia Road, I guess. And we used to call it El Parque de las Palomas because there was a lot of pigeons there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small park. And we used to, because the Catholic Center was right around the corner, and there were some people that used to work part-time at the Catholic Center. So we used to, you know, just come to the park and just sit there and relax and talk, buy an ice cream and just, or soda and just sit there and in the summer, of course. And then along Columbia Road, there was a restaurant that I remember, I think it was Puerto Rican, that most of the guys I remember used to hang around there. You know, it was a Puerto Rican restaurant. I don't even remember the name. There were a lot of Latino stores along Columbia Road. There was, you know, like supermarkets, and I used to go there to get, you know, specialties because you would not find them anywhere else, like candy, you know, coconut candy or bread or things like that that you would not find them anywhere else. So yeah, we used to, you know.
What about on Mount Pleasant?
Mount Pleasant was.
Did you spend much time on that strip, Mount Pleasant?
Not on Mount Pleasant, I don't remember. But we used to walk sometimes around there because, you know, a lot of us didn't have a car. So sometimes, you know, not waiting for the bus, we used to walk, you know, and maybe cross that bridge on Connecticut Avenue too, because we used to go also to the zoo.
Oh, the zoo, yeah.
Yeah, so, and, you know, it was kind of just a short walk for us. So, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to ask about Mr. Garber. What were your memories of him, and what role did he play?
He was a very special person. And he was so dedicated to the, you know, Latinos. I don't think not only the Latinos, but the young people in general. But he had, I think he was half Mexican, or I don't know if he was, you know, I think he was half Mexican. So because of that, he probably had a special place, you know, in his heart for Latinos. And he always wanted to help, and he always had a smile for anybody. And everyone, hey, Mr. Garber, Mr. Garber. And he knew everyone's name, you know. He knew everyone by name. And he had always, you know, good message for everybody. And people used to come to him and, you know, tell him, Mr. Garber, you know, I have this problem. He used to try to help whoever, you know. He was, I haven't heard about him lately, so I don't know if he's still, you know. I know 10 years ago, and I think that was the last time that I saw him. We had a get together because of you know, something they did for him at Maryland University. And I think that was the last time that I saw him. I think it was about 10 years ago. But he was, I remember him and he helped a lot, the Latino kids.
Was there anybody that mentored you or helped, or I imagine your own parents or your mom, but anybody else that mentored you at that time in the early 70s?
Think Arturo. Arturo played a good role, you know, around us. Though he, you know, he wasn't always there, you know, because he was very involved with the community, but he had so many things, you know, to do that he was. But he used to stop by, and he was very good with all the kids. And there were others that, there was someone that, his name was Erasmo Lara. He was Dominican, I believe. There was another one, his name was Roberto Belezer, I think. There were several people that were involved with all of us. But there were some more than others, you know. But I think Arturo, Mr. Garber, they were key to the, you know, development of all of us. Because they came here, you know, before us, so they were already accustomed when we all got here, so they knew what it's like. So they made an effort. And they had different programs, you know, different things for us to do during the summer, so we would not wander around on the streets. You know, I think that was the most important thing that they wanted, to keep us busy so that we would not get in trouble or, you know, not do the wrong things.
When you reflect back on that period, those are 3 or 4 years in D.C. and involved with the youth center, and that group of friends, and what impact do you think it had on you and your life?
I think that when you're growing up, you really need support, and you really need to have friends, you know, you really need to have that sense of belonging. And I think if it wasn't because of that, who knows, you know, what would have happened to a lot of us. Because we would come to that center and just, you know, be ourselves and be around people that were, you know, similar to us, that had the same, maybe not problems, but the same concerns, the same issues. So I think, in a way, it was a very good thing for us to be in that center, you know, and I don't know. I cannot even imagine what would have, you know, been different with us if we didn't have that. Because our parents were there, you know, for us, providing, and you know, of course, they wanted to for us to succeed and everything. But it was different because a lot of them did not understand, you know, what the issues were with the kids. You know, at that age, it's a critical age, being a teenager and being in a country where, you know, a lot of kids, I think that's the problem now, that they feel that they don't have anybody to go to, you know, so they get around the wrong people. You know, they just want to feel, you know, that they belong to something. So I think, in a way, it was really a good thing. It was really critical, you know, for us to come and feel safe there and feel that, you know, comfortable, actually, around all those people. And a lot of them, I don't know, a lot of them, you know, I have not seen them. But I know they're, you know, they're okay. So that's a good feeling, too. And I'm going to tell you, not all of us, you know, we're probably, you know, are probably fine now. because that happens. But most of us, I think we did. We did good. So it's really a good feeling, you know. And I tell my kids, when I tell my stories, and I say, wow, Mom, I don't know how you did it, you know. Because for them, you know, they were born here and they don't really know, you know. They went through other problems, but I think it's tough when you come here as a teenager, especially, and you know, you don't know anybody. And so it's a good thing. I think that program was great for us. And I don't know if they still have that program, but it was key to the formation of all of us, actually.
Well, thank you for sharing some of your...